listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and on the World Wide Web, Miss Ellen, everywhere.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also have our shows archived under the date. You can look under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're on each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, on our website and all of our social media platforms, SitaMediaInc.com is our website. You'll see pictures and then also a download available for the show.
That's right. I'm so excited to be here. I got in late from my flight from Canada. So I met with my family, my friends. I ate too much. I walked a lot with my cousin Cynthia from Logan, who's tuned in to listen to us today. And she's such a love, a great host, and had a good time. And so...
And what part of Canada were you
Toronto.
In?
Toronto. Right. And everyone knows that we heat up the airwaves every Monday right here on AM 1510 WWBC and all our FM channels. And we talk to people... right here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state of Florida, all over the world, all 50 states. And we talk to people, we give them a platform, whether it's saving the earth, as today, we're talking to Natalie Pace in a little bit, financial literacy, we speak to people, homeland security, simple thing as flying and putting your trust in the people on these aircrafts, right? And why we need to be kinder, nicer in this world today, because we're putting ourselves at risk every time we leave the United States and get on an aircraft.
Yep.
Right? So for listeners who are tuning in, Ellen O'Neill is here. She's my co-host. She's here every Monday with us. And we have a lot to chat about. We actually have a show before the show of the time. Ali Tambor is here. Welcome, Ali. Thank you for being here with us as usual. Ali co-hosts with us sometimes. And she's what we call, she's our permanent guest. That's her. So anyway, so you know, Ellen, as I was getting on my aircraft, I started thinking there were people who were cleaning the aircraft, the pilots, and then you had the pilots who fly the aircraft, and you had the flight attendants. And I'm thinking to myself, just look at the situation. All of us are putting our lives in the hands of these people. And so when we say that we want people in our world to have food on the table, a place to live, healthcare, we want their children to have a good school, we're not joking. Right. Those people, if some of them are parents, they need the same thing.
Yes.
Right?
And they need not to be worried while they're doing their job that they don't have those same things.
That's correct. And, you know, when people are happy, happy workers, happy citizens.
Right.
Hopefully citizens that vote as well, right?
Yeah. We want them focused.
Exactly. So today, of course, our show is no different than usual. Than any usual day. We've got great guests lined up, Ms. Ali. We've got Natalie Pace, who's an advocate for sustainability, financial literacy, women's empowerment. She's also the co-creator of the Earth Gratitude Project, and she's the author of Amazon's bestsellers, The ABCs of Money, the sixth edition, The Power of 8 Billion, and so many other books. And our second segment... You know, I'm always wheeling and dealing. We've got State Senator Geraldine Thompson, who is a surrogate for the Kamala Harris campaign, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz campaign, which is our campaign, my campaign anyways. She'll be calling in to speak about on behalf of the campaign, and she'll be speaking about reproductive rights, Project 2025, and voter suppression. So that would be the second segment. So first segment, I know Natalie's on the phone, and we're going to have her join in on the conversation. Natalie, thank you for taking the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today.
Thank you, and it's nice to be on with you and with Ellen and with Allie. This should be fun.
Yes. So you're calling in from California, I gather, right?
Yeah. I'm in the beautiful beach town of Santa Monica, which is the beach town of Los Angeles.
So we woke you up early.
You did.
Yes. And you know what? I was thinking about you this weekend. I was talking to somebody about T-shirts. And, you know, that's so many things we use on a daily basis. They're not biodegradable.
Yeah.
And
right.
as I was getting ready for the show, I was thinking, you know, there is something to be said about those amongst us who are minimalist and those who have smaller houses and the people who say, you know what, I'm going to start having my own garden. I'm going to grow my food. And then you change your mindset, right, about everything once you start thinking about it.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, World Cleanup Day is on September 20th. And what a lot of us don't realize is the best thing that we can do is not to toss out junk or garbage in the first place, but also, as you were saying, get smart, right? Like, it's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine and she was like, oh, do you have any clothes to recycle? And it's incredible. I buy natural fibers. Do you buy polyester, which is an oil product? And by the way, we all worry about, you know, the microplastics that are leaching into the oceans and are now sadly in our bodies. You know, that happens by washing oil-based clothing, in addition to obviously all the garbage that gets thrown into the ocean, you know.
Natalie, I think Ellen wants to tell you something about the phone. That she just moved for a little bit.
Yeah, just make sure wherever you are to stay put, because you're coming in and out a little bit on the audio.
Oh yeah. She's the genius behind the show, and she watches out. Yes, can't have a show without Ellen O'Neill. So anyway,
Ellen, is this a little better?
That's perfect.
See, told you.
Okay,
yeah,
fabulous.
But and you know the other thing too, everything comes down to education, right? What you're saying about the clothing, the polyester versus cotton, and all that. For many years, people had so many skin conditions, and no one had educated them that, wait a minute, it could be what you're wearing or what your sweat.
Yeah.
When you sweat in a certain material, that could be why you have to see a dermatologist quite often, which in turn turns into spending money. Then you have to buy the creams and lotions, which once you wash it off your body, goes right back into the sewer system. It's like a never-ending effect with this stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people aren't aware of, is that, you know, it seems like it's such an onerous task to learn all this stuff. But the truth is, once we do, not only is our world better, but a lot of times we can save thousands and thousands. Like, we were talking about how World Car Free Day is Sunday, September 22nd. What a lot of people don't realize is that if you actually found, like if you lived in a city that was friendly to whether it's biking or walking or mass transit or buses, and you could get rid of your car, that would save you $8,000 on average per person per car per year. And that, you know, obviously if you have a slinky car, it's going to save you even more. So when you factor in the car payment, the car insurance, the gasoline, all of that, you know, it's really going to save you a lot.
You know what? I was just having this conversation with my cousin in Canada, because in Toronto, their transit system is A-class. It is so, I mean, everything is on schedule. It's on time. The people themselves are so friendly. No one's pushing to get anywhere. Nobody's shoving. It's just very organized. And she gave up her car for the same reasons you just mentioned. But I think it's, you know, for so many cultures, so many people, owning a car is like a status. It's like a symbol. And the fancier the car, the more expensive the car is, if people feel great about themselves. But I think if you take time to educate yourself, you will see that, wait a minute. Now, this is for, I guess, for cities where there's mass transit like that.
Well,
but here
actually,
in Florida, we need a car here in Florida until we could get the Brightline train move in and give us a stop.
Well, that's true, but we have a lot of biking paths that people are not aware of.
Absolutely.
And we have, I personally, I don't do it every month, but at least once a quarter, I have a no car weekend. So the whole weekend,
I ride
my bike anywhere I have to go. Now, granted, I probably don't choose the things that are the furthest away. But nonetheless, you know, I don't plan on a huge shopping trip when I'm having those types of weekends. But nonetheless, I still don't change my plans. I try and still make sure that I'm doing all the things that I would normally do.
Well, and I think a lot of it, too, comes from the education we get on our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Yeah.
Right? And Allie saying that true. Go ahead, Natalie.
But also it's about being a forward-thinking member of your community. Now, I want to say two things. First thing is, I used to host my financial freedom retreats in Cocoa Beach. And every time I came there, I rarely used a car. I always rode a bike. There were bike share. You could ride your bike on the beach. There's bike paths. There's all these things. Maybe there's more in Cocoa Beach than in Cocoa, but there's a lot more than you might realize. Three things I want to say. The second thing is, you know, in cities like Amsterdam, where it's really bike forward and shared roads and all of that, you don't see obesity. So you're also benefiting, like you're saying, okay, I can save $8,000 by giving up my car. What's the price of having a healthy body, right? Like that could be a game changer. And then the third thing I would say is I was actually had it on my list to talk about Yoez Benson, because here in Venice and Santa Monica, it was like 20, 30 years ago, he started riding bikes and there were no bike lanes. And all of these kids thought he was really cool because he was like a clothing designer. And so all the kids just started riding bikes. And now, you know, 20 years later, we have these beautiful designated bike lanes, and they figured out how to make them even safer by putting the parking on the other side. And it reduces gridlock traffic. It reduces pollution. It makes the streets safer. That's part of the reason why they did that in Amsterdam. In the 1970s, it was polluted. There were a lot of vehicular deaths, particularly of children. There was no place for these people to park all their cars. And it's just, the moms got together and said, hey, we want to save our children and we want clean air. And so they advocated and everything changed.
Right. And it only takes one person to come up with an idea. And if it's a great idea, other people follow.
Well, not really. Like even in Santa Monica, look, we had the founder of Bird e-scooters based out of Santa Monica. And a few years ago, we all had to get on our scooters and go to City Hall because they wanted to ban e-scooters. And there was a horde of people that all went there to lobby for it. And then they figured out a pilot program. So a lot of times you can't go from nothing to everything, right?
Right,
you have have a transition. But it all does start, as you were saying, it definitely starts with one person.
Well, we've seen what happened in our town here with Moms for Liberty. One woman and her friend decided to start that chapter where they started banning books in our town, and it grew to 50 states, right? But that's another show for another day. but I was just thinking about how that impacted so many by one person, right? But anyways, so back to the cars. So now let's talk a little bit about the gasoline. I mean, because we see we're so dependent on other countries for oil and gas. We get such an education from you, but here's the thing.
Yeah, thank you.
When you talk to politicians all the time, you will hear that they blame each other for gasoline prices. You will hear that people are talking about drilling. You will hear people are talking about fracking. And then it all comes back to, well, what are we doing about it in our communities when we talk about transportation? So talk to us a little bit about the gasoline effect and how that plays into transportation.
Yeah, and I want to say, first of all, I'm an independent and I don't care who people vote for. I think all of us need a cleaner, greener world. And we all want clean air, clean water, and clean food for our children. I believe in financial freedom for all. But there is a lot of misinformation out there. First of all, the U.S. is the top producer of gasoline, but sadly, we are also the top consumer, even though we don't have as many citizens as, say, China or India, which are number one and number two. So that's the first thing, is that a lot of times we don't realize how much misinformation we're being fed, right? So I think that it has to start with the truth. Now, what the other side of it, what about gasoline? Well, a lot of the oil producers will say they need $80 a barrel oil in order to turn a profit. So they do a lot of price fixing by lowering production, et cetera, to try to maintain that, which means that gas prices are high. If anything bad happens, they go higher. That's a lot of money, but it's also really, really, really dirty energy. So again, you know, even today, I think a lot of people don't realize this. Over half of each barrel of oil goes to make polyester, plastic, etc. The richest man in India is a polyester manufacturer. ExxonMobil is one of the biggest plastic manufacturers. So all of this, like, awareness, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, that means that I really, really want to start taking my reusable bag and wearing natural fibers, because even though if we are going to use gasoline and oil, and obviously it's not going to be stopping tomorrow immediately, you know, maybe we can start that process of less demand.
I often wonder why we can't have people like you, Natalie Pace, on our social media feeds when people are carrying on like crazy about oil and gas, right? Because you're so right. I remember the last time you came on the show, we had talked about this, and I went home and I counted how many things in my home were made out of plastic. And I kept saying oil, oil, oil. And I remember going to work and educating some of my friends, you know, like when you hang an IV bag, everything is plastic. And you're so right. I'm so glad that you reminded me of this, because we often think of oil in terms of the gasoline and cooking and heating and energy, but we don't think about the clothing, the furniture, medications. So many things does have oil. And I see Allie's shaking her head. Jump in there, Allie.
Oh, I was just, my brain went to something silly like petroleum jelly, so... Don't listen to me.
Yeah. But a lot of makeups and creams and things that we put on our body also have that in it. And we do need to read labels, and we do need to pay attention to that for sure.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's so much healthier. It saves us so much money. It has a chance to start transitioning us out of oil addiction, because look, a lot of us don't even realize how addicted we are to oil, because we haven't factored in polyester and plastic, even in addition to gasoline, right? And that is plan B for a lot of these oil companies. They're really ramping up plastic. They put it on everything. They cover our food in it. It's just everywhere, right? So you have to be very, very mindful, and you have to really make choices to do this. And one thing I will say is, once you do it, it's the way life is. I sometimes get annoyed because I'll find something new that I have to do, and I'm like, oh, man, why didn't I know that I needed to use recycled toilet paper? You know how, I mean, oh, gosh, there's just everywhere I turn, there's another thing I've got to do differently, right?
Yeah.
But then once you realize it, it's like, okay, done. I'm doing it now. I'm saving. And by the way, $8,000 a year, that's a pretty decent vacation for a lot of folks. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? It's almost like what you're talking about, too, is like repurposing everything, right? Like I was talking to somebody recently, and I said, I remember that, you know, when I was a child growing up in the village in Trinidad and Tobago, if you had a piece of a garment, a dress or a shirt or a pants or something, even though it was worn and tattered and it had holes in it, your parent would find a way to take the piece that they can use and make a pocket on a dress with it, maybe make a little vest for a child, make something to carry pots with. But they repurpose everything, and they taught us. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, I would like, oh, these people are so backward. Look at them. They won't even buy something new. But sustainability was there right in front of my eyes,
it built in.
It was like they used the coconut and they eat the jelly and they used the husk to make a bowl and they made the fibers to put in a mattress. And before you know it, you're using the coconut branch for a broom. And I remember saying, when I grow up, I'm going to go to America where I would get everything wrapped in a plastic wrap and bought in a store because I don't like this village stuff. And how I grew up and I'm like, these were geniuses, you know?
Yeah, it was much closer. Look, I grew up and I would spend my summers with my grandparents. They were farmers. My grandmother, same thing like you, she would take old clothes and make rag rugs, you know? But the other thing too is remember, like a lot of people are like, oh, you should be repurposing your clothes. You should be recycling your plastic. Well, I'm sorry, but let's not buy polyester in the first place because every time you wash it, it leaches plastic into our water system. And, these are things that we just want to start understanding a little bit more, how we can say no to plastic and polyester. The other thing I was going to say about plastic is, you look at a plastic water bottle, it has recycle in very large letters there. Well, less than 5% of plastic gets recycled. When you talk about countries like Trinidad, Tobago, Africa, India, the plastic actually just gets shipped there and tossed. You know, when we see, you probably have seen that big giant waste dump of polyester clothes in that desert in Chile. You know, these are companies that are overproducing, right? So we just have to say no, and we have to know what it is that we say yes to. And I am on social media, Natalie Wynn Pace, and also Earth_Gratitude.
So when I see people talking nonsense, I'm going to tag you so you can help me out, because a lot of people are so misinformed about oil and gas prices, and they blame each other. And like you say, I'm also in the middle, politically moderate. I call myself fiscally responsible and socially compassionate. So that's a good place for me to be. But I wanted to ask you really quick, you are the co-creator of Earth Gratitude, and how did you start that project?
Well, and it's funny because I always say that charity is the best networking. So I always have a charitable project no matter what my day job is. And my day job since 1999 has been financial freedom and financial literacy. So, in my other part of it, I thought, well, sustainability is a big piece of that, right? If we can save 8,000, if we don't have a car, you know, there's all kinds of ways where sustainability plays into financial literacy. And the problem was that you'd get people that would talk about sustainability projects that weren't viable, or there was a lot of misinformation around them as well, right? So like in 2006, there was the Tesla electric vehicle, and then there were a bunch of golf carts. And so knowing the difference between these two required actually going test driving. Or, somebody said that they had, an Earthship home. You know, I would actually go and see it, you know, because people needed to understand that you don't want to build your home out of tires because it actually leaches noxious gas. It's actually not good for you. But you could make it with natural and local materials and have it solar powered. That could be very powerful too. So I just began, probably around 2002 was the first time that I started just on my own time, on my own money, just researching sustainability projects. And that led me, believe it or not, to being hosted by the royal family for a month in England to learn more about the initiatives that were launched by, he was then the Prince of Wales, he's now King Charles III. Mm-hmm. It took me all around the world. It took me to India, to Peru, just all of these places so that I could look at these sustainability projects firsthand. And so it was quite natural to say, why don't we feature the best out there? And that's how the Earth Gratitude Project was formed. I, teamed up with a couple of other people. We asked people if we could feature their projects. Many of them had their own videos. We would edit them together. So we now have a beautiful 5-part docuseries at earthgratitude.org. I encourage everybody to go there and check it out. There's one on kids. There's one on everyday sustainability. There's on animals and conservation. There's on soil and health, and obviously, which is, I know something you agree with, Sita, why an attitude of gratitude is so powerful. And
well, I do believe the universe gives you back what you put out, right? And if you if you're positive every day and you say, what can I do with the limited amount of time I have left on planet Earth? What can I do? Because we want to leave a better footprint behind. We want to leave a better world behind. And I do notice with you, you had over 120,000 downloads of that those videos. My goodness. Now, let's segue a little bit away. You, at one point, you were ranked the number one stock picker. So by doing all this stuff, it's sustainability, you're able to help people not just invest, but how to invest, where to invest. And if your money goes into something, how is that helping your community, your state, the United States, our world? And that is powerful.
My first book was Put Your Money Where Your Heart Is. And because I was ranked the number one stock picker, but also because these have time-proven 21st century strategies, Nobel Prize-winning economist wrote the preface. Michael Beckwith, who was, you know, a New Thought leader, wrote the foreword. So it was both. It was both saying, look, on one hand, we want to be in charge of our money. We want to have these time-proven, easy systems to implement. Everybody should know life math. And the other hand is that it's not just our choices by what we choose to buy. It's also what we invest in. Like, are you actually profiting from what you're picketing? So if you really want to green your portfolio, that's another reason to get smart about money.
Yeah, well, you know, it's so interesting because oftentimes you'll hear people talking about a certain product that they want to boycott or something, right? But then if you say to them, well, have you looked at your company's 401k and your retirement plan and where that is invested? Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, I don't know. Well, maybe you should, because I know, like, the teachers union, sometimes they'll say, well, we want to certain stocks are not going to invest in, right? Because they educate themselves, and they're like, that is not something we're going to be doing anymore. But you're right. People just don't pay attention to where their money is going. And is it helping or is it hurting for the same things they're advocating for?
Just a little jump in. We started a group probably 5 years ago called the Rich Chicks. And it's a group of ladies that we just get and invest. So every week, everybody had to bring something to the table, something new that they investigated or researched. And then we decided as a group, whether or not independently, but also as a group, to decide whether we were going to invest in them. But the education that we got from each other was just amazing. So just like a book club, you can start an investment club very simply, and not make it like a conglomerate where you're investing money together. You can make it an independent sport as well.
Right. And it comes as you get older, right? You get wiser. You want to learn things. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Natalie Wynn Pace, and she's an advocate for sustainability, financial literacy, and women's empowerment. She's also the co-creator of Earth Gratitude Project, of the Earth Gratitude Project, and the author of so many bestsellers. So Natalie, tell us the names of your books with the remaining minute we have, if you can, and where our guests, our listeners, can find your books and become as smart as you.
Well, it has, you know, anyway, whether I'm smart or not, I definitely know my two areas of focus, sustainability and financial freedom. So Put Your Money Where Your Heart Is, the ABCs of Money, and the Power of 8 Billion. There's also the ABCs of Money for College, which parents should get when their child is born. It's not too late to start if your kid is in high school. So you can get all of this at nataliepace.com. I also want to say that we're hosting a sweepstakes right now. It technically ended last night at midnight, but I want to keep it open for another 48 hours for your guests. So anybody can email info@nataliepace.com. We have a free, you can join us at our retreat. We have an all-access pass to all of our online training. There's lots of different free prizes that you can get. So just email info@nataliepace.com with sweepstakes in the subject line, and we'll get you registered. But you must do it by tomorrow midnight. So we'll only keep it open for a limited time.
Right. And World Coffee Day, again, is September 22nd. And you're asking everybody really quick to rethink their transportation and car culture into safe, shared roads. And you did point out the big cities like Amsterdam and Paris and Santa Monica, which us Americans and other people, when we go on vacations, we don't have any problems walking, right? We do it.
Right. Yes. And riding a bike. And look, I mean, I must tell you, I'm 63 and I feel healthier right now than I have ever felt. I remember driving to yoga classes. Now I would walk to a yoga class. And, you know, I feel so healthy. You know, it's great.
Right. So give us your website and then we will have to go to our second segment. I'd love to have you call in maybe in January and we want to do a segment on financial literacy. Because I have to tell you, I keep telling people that I know that I've been putting like $50 every other week away from my granddaughter. And in a space of 14 years, she has like $23,000 for college. And it's because I just invested it well in good stocks. And I said, instead of doing nails and hair and this and that, I'll just put $100 a month. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And it's a wonderful thing to know how to do it. But my financial advisor showed me where to put that. And so we like to share that on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends because we live by example, right?
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Well, once
again. So visit nataliepace.com and earthgratitude.org.
And we will make sure that all of that is shared on our website as well as all of our social media channels. We are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or takeout as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville.
That's Dixie Crossroads.
Is a certified public accounting and a
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere.
That's right. If you go to 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your listening devices. Of course, that is also where the shows are all archived. We're on each and every Monday, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we share everything on our social media platforms, as well as our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
Yes, and you know, Ellen, for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we use our show as a platform to leave the planet a better planet than we found it. Like we always say, we want to leave a better footprint behind. And whether someone wants to speak with us on our show about financial literacy, the environment, clean water, they want to talk about maybe the school system, teachers, a fair pay raise, whatever, we're here to talk to you. We speak to authors, writers, singers, dancers, anyone who wants a platform, and it's no difference. Lots of politicians. And of course, I wanted to reach out to the Kamala Harris campaign and get somebody to call in on our show to speak on behalf of Kamala Harris, the VP Kamala Harris, and Tim Walz. And the campaign was wonderful to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and decided to have us speak with State Senator Geraldine Thompson. And she's a surrogate for the campaign, and she's calling in. She's on the phone with us. Thank you for taking the time, Senator, to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
And I have to tell you, with you coming on the show, I was speaking with a lady this morning at the gym. And on our gym, usually all the TVs on Fox News. And I get kind of nervous because I don't want to start a riot talking about politics in the gym. And there was this lady walking next to me, and she said, based on the television screen that you're watching, I can speak to you. And I said, oh, who are you? And she introduced herself. She's a retired teacher, and she is also Kamala Harris, Tim Walz supporter. And she says, I don't understand what is happening to our nation and our country, that women are not going to be having the ability to have a choice about reproductive freedom in the future if people don't think about who they're going to be voting for. And so we carried our conversation on into the parking lot, and we started talking about that you cannot tell a woman what to do with her body, that should be between her and her doctor and her God, her faith, because people are not coming to babysit. They're not coming to watch the kid. They're not coming to help with college plans and schools. So take it away from there and talk to us about the importance of reproductive rights and our reproductive system in this election, and how important it is for women, men, people to think about this before they vote.
Well, I'm glad you said it's important to men as well as women, because I think men need to think about their bodies. And to answer the question, what part of your body would you like the government to be dictating to you what happens? What part of your body do you want the government to control? And when I have posed that question to men, the answer is none. And so the same is true for women. Who should make private medical decisions regarding health care for a person other than that individual? It should not be the government. And I think that that is one of the things that we're going to determine in this upcoming election. In Florida, we have now, in effect, a six-week ban on abortion. And many women don't know that they are pregnant at 6 weeks, and particularly women who may have irregular cycles, et cetera, they don't know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. And so it imposes a big burden on women if, in fact, they decide that this is not the right time to become a parent. And so what we're talking about is freedom. And then men are part of the equation as well. Should men also have the right to decide when they should become a parent? Because as the individual who is the partner in this whole thing, they're going to be responsible now for an individual for 18 years. And is this something that the men, is that an obligation that the men want to accept? So it's both, as you say, men as well as women. So reproductive freedom is very, very important. Here in the state of Florida, with the six-week abortion ban, we have had women, we've had couples who have prayed for a child. They conceive a child, but the pregnancy is not viable. The child is not thriving in the womb. In some instances, there is no detection of movement, of breath, or whatever. And now when they go to say, let's not bring an individual into the world who's not going to survive, and physicians have said they're not going to survive. But if it's after 6 weeks, the physicians are concerned that they would be liable, that their licenses are in jeopardy because they have performed a procedure after 6 weeks that could be interpreted as an abortion.
Right.
So we're talking about freedom. We're talking about when people should have the right to determine if they want to become a parent. We're talking about physicians. And this six-week ban in the state of Florida has meant that we have had physicians leaving the state because they want to be able to provide care, and they're in jeopardy now of being charged criminally for performing a procedure, when particularly when a pregnancy is not viable.
Right.
So
and
I just want to ask,
yes,
part of your body should the government be in charge
of? That's correct, and that's a great question, because then it makes people think. Well, you know, we, the United States of America, we are a leader in reproductive health and sexual and reproductive health. And we've made advances all over the world. And sometimes it feels as though we are losing our freedom, our democracy here as women, because of decisions that have been made by these men in suits. And they talk about people, you know, in other countries, in the Taliban and other places. But sometimes as a woman, I feel like, wait a minute, are we going backwards or are we going forward? And I would like for you to talk a little bit about that, because the backward thinking is what a lot of us are worried about. A lot of women don't know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. A lot of people have issues with their reproductive system, and they don't know what's happening unless they get to see a physician. And then you have to take time off. Some people might have a child. We're putting a burden on women at this time in their childbearing age that is unbelievable. So how do we get more people to say, listen, we're going forward. This backward thinking is not for us.
Well, at one time, women were considered property. They were chattel. They were owned by their fathers and then later by their husbands. And it was the men who made the decisions. And so we're beyond that, and we are not going back. We're not going back to a system where we had no voice in what happened to us and what happened to our bodies. We've come a long way, and we simply are not going back. And when polls are taken, not only in the state of Florida, but throughout the country, people are in favor of reproductive freedom and having women make decisions about their own body. And because of the Electoral College, even though, for example, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, she did not win the Electoral College. So you have men, and many of the men who are making these decisions are well past childbearing. You know, they're not even included in having to raise the child, but they're making decisions about what happens to a woman and what happens to a woman's body. And we've come a long way, and we're not going back.
And you know what's sad, too, is you notice that so many people that encourage a person to carry this child, they're not there when the child is born. They're not, they cut back on any kind of monies to help this woman and her child if they say, listen, I need health care. I need a daycare. I need a decent wage. I need a place to live. My rent is high. Then the woman is burdened with all these problems, but the people turn their backs and say, listen, no, we can't do that. Go get a job. Well, people are working. It's a working poor. And I think that's a bigger conversation that we all have to have, that you can't interfere in a woman's right to choose if you're not going to be there to help.
Right. And what we're talking about is people who say that they are pro-life, and they're only pro-life when the fetus is in the womb. Once the child is born, they're not pro-life. We've seen that here in Florida, where this state refused to bring money that the federal government was offering so that children could eat during the summer, so that parents could get EBT cards to get food, because many of the children are on free and reduced lunch, and they only get that. That's their main meal, and they only get that during school hours and during the school day. They do not get it during the summer. So if we're pro-life, let's be pro-life before birth as well as after birth. We've not seen that. We've not seen that.
I say if you're pro-life, you have to be pro-child and pro-family. It doesn't stop when the kid is born, right? So let's transition a little bit. One of our listeners had texted me, wanted to know a little bit about Project 2025, because a lot of people are feeling like this, if adopted, it will destroy America. It will destroy a lot of freedoms that as we know it. Can you talk a little bit, Senator, about Project 2025 and how that is probably going to affect this election if adopted?
Well, you've had the Heritage Foundation and a group of people come up with a plan for 2025 if former President Trump is reelected. They've already put together this roadmap of what they want to do in 2025. And among the things that they want to do, they want to eliminate the Department of Education so that people don't have any kind of guidelines, any kind of requirements in terms of a curriculum, in terms of assessments, nothing. So they want to get rid of the Department of Education. They want to get rid of the Department of Justice so that you would have an individual as president who has no accountability to the American people, who would be immune from any kind of prosecution for illegal acts. This is what they propose. They also propose to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency. And Florida really has been a test case for a lot of what's included in Project 2025. We have seen in the state of Florida just recently plans unveiled to turn our state parks into golf courses, into pickleball courses. And you lose this pristine habitat now. And if you get rid of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, well, who is going to regulate? Who is going to monitor what's going on? In Florida, we are resting on an aquifer, and that's where our water comes from. And if there are no regulations with regard to, let's say, fertilizer, pesticides, and all of the things that wash into our waterways and end up in our aquifer, who's going to monitor that? So it really would be a free-for-all with regard to Project 2025. The other thing is that Project 2025 would get rid of civil service workers. And these are people who are there based on merit. They take tests. They indicate their proficiency. And it would replace that kind of system with people who are loyal to Donald Trump. That would be the only requirement. So you would be putting in place people who are cronies, for lack of a better word, who have pledged their loyalty to President Trump. So it's a very dangerous plan, and it's already been circulated, it's already been formulated, and that is what Project 2025 is all about. And so we just simply cannot allow that to move forward, and the only way we prevent it from moving forward is not to have the same, to recycle a person who was in the White House who for 4 years just created a lot of chaos, a lot of division, and we're seeing that results still today.
So people need to pay attention because Project 2025, it is a big deal at the moment. You've got to pay. Like you said, you know, the Department of Education, I've had, and you know, I've been a nurse for over 35 years in our nation's nursing homes and extended care facilities. And we would have people that come to draw blood. And you would have people laying in those beds that for all their life, they were very mad about paying taxes. And then you laying in this bed and you need somebody to take care of you, hang an IV. You know, it's an immigrant. One guy, I have to tell you, Senator, it's a quick story, but we had this guy who was diabetic. And I went to give him an insulin shot, and his TV was on Fox News, and President Obama was on the TV at that time. And he said, I said, do you mind just turning it down? And he said, oh, you must be an Obama lover. And I said, listen, sir, I'm at work, and I don't really want to talk politics. I said, but if you could turn it down a bit. And he said, I hate those immigrants. And I said, well, let's put it this way. Your doctor is from India. Your nurse is from Trinidad and Tobago. She's also Indian. The person cooking your food is Jamaican. The one cleaning your room is from Peru. And I said, and the one who is going to be giving you a bath in a little bit is a Haitian woman who's going to be staying your private parts. So if I were you, I wouldn't say I hate immigrants, because when you get older in life, an immigrant might be the one saving your soul right there in that bed, you know? Same thing with
the labs.
Same thing with the lab. One guy said, I don't see why I have to pay for people's education. Well, guess what? If you want a nurse who knows how to hang an IV, you want a lab technician who can draw your blood, you want somebody who can take care of you and your loved ones, your little grandchildren in school, you better start paying your taxes. Nobody's taking it from you. You're paying for services that we all use. So when people say Democrats are tax and spend, liberals and socialism and all this, I set them straight. And I say, listen, you're driving on the roads. You're using law enforcement. You have teachers, Medicaid, grandparents in a nursing home. Calm down. So what do you say to people when they say stuff like that and say, you know, we're just taking their money? Don't you have to set them straight in a nice, kind way, Senator?
Well, we have an aging population. People are living longer, and because they're living longer, they have needs with regard to nursing homes, with regard to health care, things that other populations, other generations didn't have to deal with because they passed away before they got to this point. And we are investing money in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics and medicine because we recognize that we have an aging population. And those things, in order to have a properly trained workforce, you've got to invest in education. We have people who come to Florida, they don't want to pay taxes because they said, well, I educated my children in another state. And one of the biggest classes of people traveling out of the international airports in Florida are corpses, bodies, who have dictated during their lives that on their death they wanted to go home. So they don't consider Florida home, and therefore they don't invest in Florida. But to have a trained workforce, we're going to have to invest in a quality education system, and we certainly are going to have to invest in the sciences, technology, engineering, math, and medicine. That is because we look at the census data and we know that Florida is a retirement community. And so if you want to be well cared for in your golden years, this is one of the obligations that comes along with that.
Right.
And the reality is that we're all immigrants. We all, unless we are Native Americans, we're all immigrants having come here from some other place. I am African American. My ancestors came from Africa, and not by their own choice, not according to their own will, but we're here now.
Right.
So we might have come over on different boats, different ships, but we're in the same boat now. And we've got to work together to make sure that all of our population is served.
That's right. And we want to move forward with VP Kamala Harris. who said to all of us that protecting reproductive freedom, ensuring that everyone has an opportunity to get ahead, is important to her and strengthen our democracy. But sometimes I feel like voter suppression is in the way. And we've got 2 or 3 minutes. If you could touch a little bit, how do we get more people to vote and trust to vote when people are saying, my vote doesn't count? And I try to tell them, no, every vote counts. You got to make a plan. You got to have your ID ready. You got to have your name checked properly, your addresses. But they're still saying, but Sita, voter suppression is out there. How can you calm the nerves, Senator Geraldine Thompson, of the people listening?
Well, at one time, voter suppression was very obvious. You had literacy tests. You had poll taxes. You had all kinds of things to prevent people from voting. It's still here, but it's very subtle. For example, if you registered to vote and you did not vote, let's say in a couple of years, and a lot of people during COVID and other things didn't vote, you are moved into an inactive status. So I'm encouraging people to make sure that you know if you are if you're registered and if you are in an inactive status. It does not mean you're ineligible. It simply means they put you in inactive status. Reactivate, update your signature, because they're requiring that the signature that you use when you vote has to be the same one as when you originally registered. Now, think about that. If I originally registered 25 years ago, and maybe today I have arthritis, my hand isn't as steady, my signature is not going to be the same. Go update your signature. Make sure you're in an active status, and all you have to do is to reactivate so that you're ready to vote, beginning early voting. We know that registration for voting is October 7th, so we need to be getting everybody that we know registered to vote now. And if people are registered but haven't voted, make sure that they're in an active status and they can contact the supervisor of elections office to determine that and make sure that they're ready, because they're still eligible to vote. If they are American citizens and they have a valid ID, they're eligible to vote.
Yeah, and maybe we ought to tell people stop listening to misinformation and disinformation, because oftentimes you hear people say, oh, illegal immigrants are able to vote. That's not so. I voted in every single local, state, and federal election. And Brevard County, Florida, we have a great supervisor of election. No one gets to vote unless they're an American citizen in this state. I know that for a fact.
That is correct.
So with 30 seconds or less, Senator Geraldine Thompson, you've been so wonderful to take the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. For the people sitting on those fences, can you tell them in 30 seconds or less why we want them to vote?
Well, we want them to vote because we need an opportunity economy. That is what Vice President Harris is working on. That is what she would bring, so that it would be that everybody has an opportunity to not just get by, but to get ahead. We want everybody to participate in America's economy rather than just favoring those at the very top and then saying to those at the bottom, figure it out, you know, get by however you can. And so if you want an opportunity economy, you vote for Kamala Harris for President of the United States.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. We're going to end the segment now, and I will follow through and do whatever I can to get out the vote as well.
And we've passed on all this. We've
put
out all this.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
We've put out all this fantastic information out on our podcast page, which is Sita Media Inc., our website. Make sure that you tune in each and every week here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.